a beautiful song service thus far, and the sentiments of the songs in keeping with our lesson that we began looking at last Sunday evening from John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. Passage very familiar to many of us. Bearing fruit for the Lord. The vine and the branches. We introduced our study and looked at several passages defining what fruits we could bear as Christians. We noted very carefully that these passages that we looked at were directed at the Lord's apostles. And so we need to keep that in mind as we try to glean some meaning and some application to what the Lord is telling them, be able to apply those things to our own lives. The main thrust of Christ's teaching about bearing fruit is that we cannot bear fruit unless we abide in Christ. You'll notice in verse 4 of John 15, the words, abide in me. Oh, that beautiful song we sang just a few minutes ago, number 74, is about that. Abide in me. Continue in me, he's telling them. Dwell in me. Remain in me. We may or may not understand things about horticulture. We may not understand things about osmosis. We may not know those details very well, but we can understand this. A branch only has life as it abides in the vine. No matter how much the branch has grown in days past, no matter how thick the branch is or how attractive it may be, if that branch is not connected to the vine, it is dead. The same is true with regard to our relationship with Jesus Christ. He is essential to our spiritual life and growth. The Bible teaches us in the New Testament that we are baptized into Christ. Passages like Romans 6, 3 through 6, which I will read to you now from the New American Standard Bible. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into His death? Therefore, we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. A similar passage from Galatians 3, 26 and 27 in thinking about we are baptized into Him. Paul wrote to the Galatians and said, you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Divine wisdom has decreed that you and I must die to sin by repentance, that the body of sin might be done away. That's a spiritual concept, isn't it? Divine wisdom has decreed that we pattern the likeness of our death to sin in accord with the likeness of the death of Jesus Christ, thus casting off the bondage of sin. By divine decree and divine wisdom, God has decreed that we are united with Christ in the likeness of His death. Divine wisdom has decreed that entering Christ is accomplished by baptism in water. divine wisdom has decreed that being raised from baptism is the likeness of His resurrection. And by this, we too walk in newness of life. We are baptized into Him. Also, in Him, we are a new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." So in Him, we are a new creation. All spiritual blessings are found in Him. Good place to abide then, don't you think? Good place to dwell. Good place to remain. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, Paul gave his blessing to the great God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and he said He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We emphasize spiritual a minute ago so that you would draw the connection. The spiritual, the likeness of His death, the likeness of His burial, the likeness of His resurrection. A person who's not spiritual, a person who's worldly minded, will likely not understand those concepts. They are spiritual in nature. The forgiveness of sins, the great grace and mercy of our loving God, spiritual blessings. Spiritual blessings that are available for man in Christ. The blessings of prayer, which we have availed ourselves of earlier in our service and will before we leave. And will tonight before we sleep, and will in the morning when we arise, praying to our Father in heaven and His hearing and answering our prayers. Spiritual blessings found in Christ Jesus. All spiritual blessings are in Him. Furthermore, in Him, abiding in Him, remaining in Him, continuing in Him, we have redemption. Colossians 1, 13 and 14, the Bible said that He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. What a great blessing that is. I know you agree with the greatness of that blessing. Why are some of us not winning souls as we should? As the sentiments of the song that we sang a few minutes ago, why are some of us not sharing our faith with people? We could ask, why are we not growing spiritually? Why are we not living godly Christian lives? Why are we not faithful to the Lord in everything that He's commanded of us? The answer to all of these questions would really be the same. It would be having to do with our relationship with Christ. If those conditions are true with us, our relationship with Christ is not right. We're not abiding in Him. Jesus said, "He who abides in Me and I in him, he bears much fruit." In John 15 and verse 5. If the relationship is right, we will bear fruit. When the branch abides in the vine, it will bear fruit. That's what it's all about. The question for us, then, is what kind of relationship do you and I have with Jesus Christ? That is, have we been baptized into Jesus Christ? And if we have, are we now living for Jesus Christ? In his first epistle, John put the matter of abiding in Jesus on a personal basis. He said the one who abides in Christ will walk in the same manner as He walked. 1 John 2, and verse 6. Furthermore, in 1 John 2, verses 9 and 10, he said, the one who abides in Christ will love his brother. Is that characteristic of you? Furthermore, the one who abides in Christ will not continue in the sinful lifestyle of the old man, 1 John 3 and verse 6. So if we have a right relationship with Christ, if we abide in Christ, then we will find a way to bear fruit, won't we? In John 15, 1 through 11, this passage makes some very serious statements about the consequences of failing to bear fruit. In verse 2, Jesus said, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Verse 6 talks about being cast into the fire. And that has an ominous tone to it, doesn't it? The passage does not, however, say that we will be lost because we are not soul winners or because we fail to bear fruit in other ways. Rather, it teaches that we will be lost because we don't have a right relationship with Christ. Look again at verse 6. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Notice that God observes his branches very closely and that he takes whatever actions are necessary according to his wisdom to make sure and ensure that his vineyard is healthy and that his vineyard is productive. Branches that are not bearing fruit will be pruned. Even the branches that remain are cleaned. They are cut back in order that the cluster of grapes may be more rich and full. Some who do not share their faith with other people look for a reason and they say, I'm a shy person. I'm not interested in people. I'm not a good teacher. I don't know enough. I don't really have the time. They search for a reason, when they really should be searching for a relationship. How do I abide in Christ? Let me do that with all of my might and all of my will and all of my dedication and power. Let me abide in him. Paul said, I can do all things through him who strengthens me, in Philippians 4 and verse 13. Don't you imagine that Paul, being a person much like you and I, had weaknesses, had fears? Don't you imagine that was true with him as well? Yes, he was a very smart person. Yes, he was skillful. Yes, he was talented. But he was just like we are. Don't you imagine he had those things to overcome in his life? And what made his life such that he could say, doesn't matter what it is that the Lord expects me to do, wants me to do, need to do for myself and for him, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now that the heart of fruit bearing has been established, let's look next to discover some practical requirements of bearing fruit. Some think that evangelistic fruit bearing, that is, sharing the gospel with other people, requires that you have a fluent tongue, the ability to be a good salesperson, or a remarkable amount of great wisdom. The passage says nothing about any of these, does it? Nothing. Rather, it does suggest some things, if you read between the lines. It suggests that abiding in Christ, we will have a submissive spirit to abide in him, don't you think? Because God is the vine dresser in verse 1. He owns the vineyard. He prunes the branches. He tends to the fruitful branches. Christ said, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, in verse 10. So it requires a submissive spirit. The apostles were submissive to the instructions of the Lord when they went throughout all the world preaching the gospel in every place, weren't they? You and I need to be submissive to the Lord too. You can see in this a studious mind being something that we should think about and cultivate, because Jesus told his disciples, he said to them, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. In verse 3, the word clean is from the same Greek word as the word prune in connection with pruning the branches. In verse 2, one of God's primary pruning tools, if you will, is his word, isn't it? The word of God. Christ told the 11, if my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. In verse 7, the knowledge of God's word is really essential for bearing fruit. How do we know how to live? How do we know how to think? How do we know how to speak? A knowledge of God's word is essential for bearing fruit, especially regarding evangelistic fruit bearing, teaching other people the gospel of Jesus Christ, letting them see the example of our lives as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. Bible study and soul winning go together. If you know the word well, you have great joy in your heart when you share it with other people, because you know it well. And you also feel the need to learn more of it. Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. In Matthew 5 and verse 6, nothing improves the flavor of food like hard work, and nothing improves the flavor of God's word like being busy for the Lord, especially in the matter of sharing the truth. So a studious mind, one that's willing to dig in the word of God, to study it, to learn it, to meditate upon it, to think about what it means and how it may be applied to my life situation, is important. I think another thing that we can see is that it certainly requires of us to have a committed heart, doesn't it? We must commit ourselves to staying with Jesus. His message in John 15 is, abide in me. In verse 7, he said, if you abide in me, you will receive certain blessings. We've noticed that in many ways our relationship with the Lord is like that relationship between branches to a vine. However, in one respect, the comparison breaks down. Branches have no choice regarding whether they stay attached to the vine. But we do. The Bible teaches the security of the believer. But the Bible doesn't teach that it's impossible for the believer to become, once again, an unbeliever. And the Bible doesn't teach the impossibility of the believer falling away if he fails in his diligence, if he fails to abide in the vine. John 15 teaches that even after a person has been attached to the vine, he can still be removed and cast into the fire. If one is to be saved, he must abide in the Lord. In the day of judgment, a person cannot pull out his baptismal certificate and say, look, here is my guarantee, here is my ticket, here is my reservation. On such and such day, I was baptized into Christ, and I have it right here in writing. You have to let me in. Baptism is, of course, essential to salvation, but it's not a guarantee. It's not a fully stamped reservation for any and everyone who afterwards chooses to go back into the world, chooses to live in the way that the world lives. Not only is being baptized into Christ important, but remaining in Christ is vital. So a committed heart is necessary. Also in fruit bearing, we must be people that have a very determined attitude. We must not be people that allow difficulties of life, problems, roadblocks, snares of the evil one, temptations thrown out before us. We must not let those things deter us in our dedication to the Lord. We need to be determined people. The nature of branches is, of course, to grow. But once they cease to grow, they die. With God's help, you and I will grow as Christians. Especially we need to grow in the matter of fruit bearing. John 15 speaks of fruit in verse 2, but it also speaks in verse 5 and verse 8 of much fruit. And in verse 2, more fruit. There are some positive results of fruit bearing that would be good for you and I to think about briefly. What are some of them? If we abide in the vine and if we bear fruit, how does that help me? What good does that do for me? Well, we kind of mentioned one already. It will help us to grow spiritually. We will be cleansed. We will be pruned. We will produce much fruit in verses 5 and 8, and more fruit in verse 2. You get the feeling when you read those verses that that's pleasing to God, to see us bear much fruit and more fruit. Don't you get that? Our prayers will be answered in verse 7. If our prayer life is not what it should be, we should examine our relationship with Jesus and see whether or not we are bearing fruit. It's not an unconditional promise to grant people's prayers in any particular case. Be careful that you don't read this verse and take it out of its context. It's not saying that when a person prays, there are no conditions to it whatsoever. Just ask, and God will give you whatever you wish. If you'd like to have a ranch with 4 or 5 horses, just ask God, and He'll grant you whatever you wish. That's the way some people might view this passage. But this is not an unconditional promise to grant the selfish and covetous prayers of all the people who profess to be followers of Christ. But He does assure that disciples who ask of the Father in accordance with God's will, that these are the ones who shall receive whatever you wish. Passages that you may want to look at in connection with this are James 4 and verse 3, 1 John 3 and verse 22, 1 John 5, 14 and 15. So our prayers will be answered in addition to the fact that we will grow spiritually. Thirdly, God will be glorified. Now what does that mean to the average person? Not much. What does it mean to the average Christian? A whole lot, I hope. God will be glorified. The vineyard is His. And who is the vine dresser? He is. It belongs to Him. It is His work. The results that come from this vineyard strictly belong to Him. As the branches bear fruit, He is glorified. He is the one who prunes off all unnecessary growths that would sap the life from the vine without producing. If you and I have selfish interests, unconfessed sins, careless disregard for the truth, a bitter and unforgiving spirit against other people, what do you think the vine dresser will do in that situation? Will he not prune those sins from our lives if we abide in the vine? He will. People may have some useless traits developing that will finally damage the general life of the whole plant. It is the divine husbandman's purpose to cleanse or to prune away those traits. Why? So that it can bear more fruit. So that it can bear better fruit. And this can be accomplished by the chastening of the Lord, through teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness. And what does that in our lives? Is it not the Word of God? So God will be glorified. His purposes will be accomplished. His fruit will be brought to bear. And we will show ourselves to be true disciples of Jesus. Look in verse 8. My Father is glorified by this, Jesus said, that you bear much fruit and so prove what? Prove to be my disciples. Who is the true disciple? Only those who abide in Christ, glorifying God by bearing fruit. We will thus love God, and we will love others with a self-sacrificing, unselfish love, very much akin to the unselfish and self-sacrificing love that Christ has for us, and demonstrated that He has for us by giving His life on the cross for our sins. And here's something I don't want us to leave tonight without thinking about. We will have joy. In verse 11 of this passage, Paul called those whom he converted in Philippians 4 and verse 1 his joy and crown. John said that he had no greater joy than to hear that his children in the faith were walking in the truth in 3 John and verse 4. We will have joy. And of course, when we abide in Christ and bear fruit, the result of that with other people is they will be given the opportunity to abide in Christ and bear fruit. They too can be saved from their sins because we live the gospel. It is such a thrill to be with Christians who are happy and busy and active in the Lord's vineyard. Busy in the kingdom. Busy for God. What a great joy that is. What a great joy it is to be a part of a congregation of God's people who are dedicated to God and want to do everything that they can do to abide in Christ. But sometimes we can lose sight of what we are to be as the Lord's church. Our reason for being is to bear fruit for God and glorify His name. There's no substitute for fruit bearing. And I hope that this message has been good for you. Continue to read and think about John 15, verses 1 through 11, abiding in the vine as branches that belong to Him, bearing fruit that gives honor and glory to God. If you're in our assembly tonight and you're not a Christian, we hope that the illustration of the vine and the branches will be beneficial to you. We'd like to encourage you to abide in Christ. We'd like to encourage you to do what the Lord commanded you to do in order to enjoy the forgiveness of your sins. To come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You do that by hearing His Word. You repent of sins. You confess Him before men. You submit to baptism in water for the remission of sins. And you strive to live faithfully to His Word all the days of your life with the encouragement provided you by the local congregation of which you become a part. And we build each other up and encourage each other and love each other and sacrifice for each other. We all want to make it to be right with God in the final analysis. We can do that if we follow His will. Can we encourage you to do that tonight? If we can help you to become a Christian this very night, please respond to the Lord's invitation by coming to the front and telling me about it. While together we stand and encourage you by singing the invitation song. May God bless you tonight is our prayer.